This is a CHOI News Report. On Thursday, the BCNDP introduced legislation that would prohibit the use of illicit drugs in public spaces. The law would ban drug use within 6 meters of building entrances and bus stops, as well as within 15 meters of playgrounds, spring and weeding pools, and skate parks. It would also ban consumption of drugs in parks, beaches, and sports fields. Under the legislation, police will have the power to arrest anyone found using drugs in those areas and seize and destroy the drugs. It also requires any municipal bylaw around public drug use to be made in consultation with the Medical Officer of Health and Regional Health Authority. Premier David Eby says the law balances the right of drug users with those of the public accessing public spaces.
This balance between making sure that we're providing opportunities for people with addiction to get into overdose prevention sites, we're getting them out of the criminal system, recognizing their health issues, getting them into treatment. It never was about, and it cannot be about, using hard drugs wherever you like.
I spoke over the phone with Caitlin Chain, a lawyer with the Pivot Legal Society, who says she is disappointed by the new law.
It's really disappointing. It marks a clear departure on the part of the BC government to turn its back on decriminalization. We know that the people who are going to be hit hardest by a law like this are going to be unhoused people who use drugs. And it's just a really misguided and purely political approach, I think, to addressing a problem that actually stems from a failure on the part of the government.
Don McGilvery from the Nanaimo Area Network of Drug Users says he thinks the new law is needed, but people who are homeless don't have anywhere to go.
You got the homeless. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to do their drugs? They can't do it at home because they're homeless. So they go to the OPS. They can't get in there because they only have 8 people in at a time. There's some of the people now, we're going to fine you and we're going to charge you if you do it in public, right? Which I believe is a good thing. Like, don't get me wrong. It is needed to have that done because it's out of hand. The people are everywhere and anywhere. And there's children out there. There's people that don't want to see it and stuff, and I don't blame them. You got to do something with them. You can't just say, hey, you can't do this anymore. That's not going to work.
Premier Eby told reporters that his past experience as a prosecutor informs his policy choices about decriminalization and the Public Drug Use Act.
I worked briefly as a drug prosecutor. And the reason for the word briefly there is it was awful work. You sit there in the courthouse and say, everyone is worse off here. There is no positive outcome that is coming from this. And I agree with the coroner that we need to continue to de-emphasize responding to addiction with criminal law. And we need to continue this work. But the only way that's going to continue is if British Columbians understand they don't have to give up their park, they don't have to give up their bus stop, they don't have to give up their small business in order for us to treat people with compassion and understanding about their addiction.
Shane would like to see the government take a harm reduction approach by establishing more overdose prevention sites and enacting a sunset clause that would repeal the law at the same time that the decriminalization pilot ends in 2026.
The application of this law is in no way affected by whether a community has an overdose prevention site or a supervised consumption site. So we said, if you're going to pass this law, don't allow it to be enforceable in communities where there are no indoor spaces for people to use drugs. If you're allowing it to be enforced in a community where there's nowhere to go, literally, then you are singling out unhoused drug users. You are making it impossible for them to exist.
Premier Eby acknowledges that some communities have had a lack of safe consumption sites, and the province is willing to work with municipalities, but that isn't always easy.
We have had a challenge, frankly, in some communities that are not interested in having overdose prevention sites in their town, in their city. I hope that with this legislation, that they recognize how these pieces are going to work together to be able to support people, get them into the right place, and connect them into the system to get the care they need.
McGilvery says that Nanaimo's sole overdose prevention site is woefully inadequate, and the city needs more sites with more capacity.
You can't just tell them they can't do this and not compensate and give them a place to go do it. If you're only going to allow or work with only 8 people at an OPS, then they better open up a whole hell of a lot more OPSs.
Shane says the legislation could be open to a legal challenge if it becomes law.
We're definitely keeping an eye on it. And in my view, this law is extremely constitutionally suspect, especially just for the mere fact that if you are an unhoused person and you're experiencing addiction and you happen to live in one of the many communities where your local government has opposed supervised consumption sites or overdose prevention sites, your existence is criminal. That type of law can't stand.
For CHOY News, this is Mick Sweetman.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journals Initiative, the community radio fund of Canada, and listeners like you.